Blog Talk Radio.
You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris.
Good afternoon, listeners. I know it's a Searcher's Roadmap, but this is Roadmap for Seekers with guest Fran Shaw, who I am really excited to do an interview with today, and I think you as listeners are going to be just as happy with finding out that you don't have to work so hard to be ascending into your spiritual path. Fran Shaw is a PhD, longtime practitioner in spiritual disciplines, professor teaching writing at the University of Connecticut, and an award-winning author whose works include Notes on the Next Intention, Writing My Yoga, 50 Ways to Help You Write, and her new book, Lord Have Murphy, Waking Up in the Spiritual Marketplace, explores with great fun how contact with a finer attention awakens us to a completely different level of being. And she's a talented editor and writing coach, and she teaches at the University of Connecticut at Stanford and conducts workshops across the country. She engages people in writing experiments that begin with a shift into a greater awareness from which words freely flow. Some of these exercises appear in her books, Writing My Yoga, Poems for Presence, and The All-in-One Guide, 50 Ways to Help You Write. A fan of the poets William Blake and Walt Whitman, in college, Fran studied mysticism and world religions. When she was in her 20s, friends told her about the Gurdjieff Foundation and introduced her to a spiritual guide who worked with her for many years and also encouraged her to write 30 Ways to Help You Write a Bantam book, the first book to combine expanded awareness and free-flowing writing. Lord of Murphy, Waking Up the Spiritual Marketplace, came about when Fran was on a sabbatical wanting to write and looking at drawings by Bruce M. Sherman. Seeing the phrase, Lord have Murphy, she typed the words, Murphy's here, which unlocked a unique work on attention and in the form of an illustrated humor book. And with that, I'm going to bring Fran into the studio. Good afternoon, Fran.
Hi, Rhonda. Hello, everyone. So glad to be with you.
And so you've got such a vast array of knowledge. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, about Murphy and how he jumped from your mind to the page?
It was very surprising, and you gave some of this story already. I had to write a book. You're required at a certain point, being a university professor. I wanted to write about, my passionate interest, higher consciousness, and I thought writing about that would, of course, compel me to try to be more conscious while writing, which is the whole point. I was looking at the drawings, and when I felt that there was that we were sort of making spinach out of this subject in some of the things that are written, like it's so complicated and these things I have to do and I have to, you know, stop my ordinary life in order to, I got to go away from it for a minute and I've got to quiet myself and I have to fix myself or change myself. We were really sort of making spinach out of it, and it's really, from my experience, it's not a spinachy kind of experience. It's a very joyous experience in that. So I couldn't really write about it, and then I wrote the words Murphy here, and then all of a sudden this other voice came in who was very, as you can see, mischievous and lighthearted and makes up words and is talking about how writing about the mystery has its dangers, namely putting one's hands all over it and believing in the one who thinks he knows. I think Murphy says, you know, in the garden for a nanosecond, I become the Wikipedia of flora. So I loved it. It made me laugh. And I thought, this is it. This is it. You really let Murphy, whatever this voice is that's kind of going at breakneck speed and commenting on all the things going on in the spiritual marketplace and in his own, you know, search, his evolving search, let him talk about these topics, because I was thoroughly entertained. And it just seemed like it just opened the floodgates to something, you know, very very vibrational and fun and much more in tune with what my living experience is of this process of waking up. So that's what happened with Murphy. He took over.
Just a second. I'm sorry. My dog decided that someone must be outside.
Is his name Murphy, by the way? Just wondering.
No, her name's Gypsy. But it's making me think that it's Murphy's Law. You know, it's just kind of the way things happen, being live on the radio. So what's the message to Lord Have Murphy?
Well, there is, aside from the fun of, you know, sort of laughing at ourselves when we get in these, you know, contracted states, these states in which we get very, well, you know, call it identified, we get sort of stuck in obsessive thinking and feeling a certain way and just, you know, being discouraged and being upset and being angry, all these different sort of contracted states where my world shrinks. I mean, I think Murphy says something like, you know, is that the sun blazing gold across the horizon? I hadn't noticed because my world has shrunk to the size of a kumquat. You know, so these contracted states that we have, they really are a reminding factor. They're like a bell that rings in the temple that says, no, wait a minute, this is not the whole story. I'm not just this angry little person. I could let my attention go wide again. It could expand again. And the interesting thing about this for the underlying message is that, you know, there are many wonderful pathways today that prepare us for a higher level. Yet we may not realize that beyond concepts and techniques, there is this finer attention. It's this animating force, the sacred energy that's coming into us, you know, giving us life, flowing through us at every moment. And Murphy's point is that just recognizing its touch takes us from self-awareness across the threshold into awakening. Now, it may take some practice in becoming more and more sensitive to it and recognizing it, but when I can have in my experience in this moment both the perception of, you know, me talking, me here just as I am, not changing it at all, and also this very subtle force, vibration, you know, many names for it, no words for it, energy that's animating me. When I have the perception of both those at the same moment, when I can stand in this place in myself where I have both those perceptions going at the same moment, it's as if I can feel more reliably that now I am awake. Now I am at least have crossed a threshold, and I'm much more fully present than perhaps I was a half an hour ago or 10 minutes ago or maybe even 2 seconds ago. So the book is about recognizing levels of attention and becoming responsible for my level of attention and noticing when it contracts into something, well, wait a minute. This other energy, this finer attention, this higher intelligence, capital A, that's flowing through us and keeping us alive and giving life to us at every moment, is just it's so near and we don't notice it. It's hidden from our everyday mind because our mind is very much occupied with other things. But if I become very, very receptive, totally receptive, let my awareness expand, sense my body, grounding my attention in my body, I can be aware of what's animating the body. And there is a subtle energy penetrating the body, moving through it, and I can perceive that because I'm a human being. It's my birthright. It's what balances me. It which brings me into you know, this beginning of this unlimited dimension of attention and awakening. That's what the book's about.
And it's just, I don't know, I'm just like so in love with the idea that it's humorous rather than the serious, as you said, spinach we've been chewing on and not swallowing, you know, and making it harder than what it really is because we try to think it has to be a process when it's really a letting go process, it sounds like.
It's very true because although all of these wonderful mindfulness practices we're doing, you know, incorporations and meditation and yoga, wonderful things that we're doing. Certainly we are moving in this direction of waking up and actually appreciating what that what higher states bring. This other dimension we can shift into that's hidden from us, but it's possible to shift into it instantly. Once it's recognized, I mean, sometimes it might take a half hour, sometimes it might take 5 minutes, sometimes it might take 5 seconds. And I don't know if people are speaking about it. I have heard it spoken about being aware of the energy field of the body. That seems to me to be close to what the experience is. The thing is that, you know, Murphy always says, you know, skip the steps, take the elevator. You know, it's like I don't have to quiet my mind. I don't have to change my behavior. I have this idea of what it's like to be a quote-unquote enlightened person or spiritual person, and it's just I don't feel it's that zombie-like quality that we're kind of seeing it depicted as in some cases. You know, I'm just, it's that knitted brow, you know, I'm okay, I'm holding my attention now and myself. I just think that maybe we want to have another voice, and that's Murphy's voice, and also the Murphy's editor, there's another voice in the book besides Murphy, that talks about just this, it's kind of like the sneaky way into awakening, you know. Let's just see whether we can, and Murphy calls it, get on the bus running. Let's see if we can be live in both streams at the same moment, everyday life and the higher. And there's a lot of that permeating the book, I hope. And it certainly is, you know, what Murphy's talking about. So it just takes a little bit of, you know, a little bit of developing, mobilizing, activating an inner attention, which is what we're doing now. Many of us, hundreds, thousands of us are doing that now. Activating attention, bringing awareness into the present in a very palpable way. And this is just like sort of the next level that goes just right so close.
So, since you're a university writing instructor, what inspired you to create a humor book about conscious awareness?
Desperation and anger. I didn't see the point in writing about anything else. I've written children's books. I've written grammar books. I've written how-to books on writing. I've written books from my journals of experiences with a teacher that I worked with in Switzerland for many years, who has since passed, a person who is awake. And so there's those books that are from those journal entries. And, you know, it just didn't interest me to write about anything else. But as I said, I had such difficulty trying to write about it in the way that everybody else is writing about it. It just felt, I don't know, Murphy would call it smelly because he's a bunch braver than I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, ugh. Let's, you know, as he, you know, he just thinks that so anyway, when the humorous voice came out, and it was a sort of a humorous way of talking about myself when I get stuck, when my awareness shrinks and I have no sense of this other level of being that's possible. And it's very funny because what Murphy gives little stories of little seekers in the book, stories of them in their, you know, examples of being identified with something, and then also later on stories when they have these little moments of awakening and what those taste like. And when he talks about these stories of these four different seekers, and they have this moment when they're just really identified, he describes a little story, and then he gives the a diagnosis of it, as if it's like a medical condition. Like, for example, there'll be a story in which he diagnoses one as like, oh, this is identification, Alice, I'm special, you're in my way, shovitis. Or another one will be identification, Alice, judgmental lost focusitis, you know, or ownershititis, you know, a little touch of ownershititis because we think we own everything and we're including our beliefs. So the fact that I see myself in these different seekers and these different moments where I get identified with these things, and the fact that he makes me laugh about it because he puts this funny name on it, I think, oh, yes, that's what that is. I think that's a good attitude to have, his attitude, which is, you know, no matter what happens in himself and also in the world, but I can work with that, you know, because if you laugh, you're freed. It's like, oh, yeah, that's, I know, I'm like that sometimes. And then you laugh because it's just like this temporary condition. It's not the whole story. So that's what was so good. It was the laughter. It's very freeing. You think, oh, yeah, I know about knee-jerk reactions. I've had plenty of them. I know about manipulationships when I try to force myself to accept something. That's, you know, and he puts a word to it that he makes up that makes me laugh. And I think, I'm not going to get stuck in that because I can laugh about that now a little bit. That's the hope that the humor in the book brings.
And I think it takes that need to be the same as everybody else piece out of the question, where it's more about being an individual and not being so I-centered and being more world-centered.
Well, the thing is that, you know, I really don't think I can fix myself, change myself. You know, the Murphy in the title, Lord of Murphy, the Fran, the Rhonda, you know. But the thing is that the interesting thing is that when there's this shift into an awareness of this other very subtle energy moving through the body, this animating quality, that becomes so much less interesting. It doesn't matter about the content. It doesn't matter, you know, all of these things I like and dislike about Fran, you know, these whatever they are, you know, these cherry picking that I do. I like this, I don't like this. Because this other energy, that the goodness of it just flows, it's so compelling. The goodness of it just flows through, brings a balance so that none of those, you know, qualities or characteristics of Fran, Murphy, Rhonda, dominate. So if they don't dominate. Somehow they take, you know, sort of a back seat. They can't take over. They can't, you know, get me identified for those few. They can't hook me, and so the hook is in charge. They can't hook me during these moments when there's this sensitivity, this receptivity to this flow that's through me, this life force that's flowing through me. For some reason, it changes everything. And it's not about content. It's not about gathering information about myself and learning about myself and doing some things a different way and things like that. It has nothing to do with content. It's all about connection. It's just simply about connecting to another quality of vibration that puts it all into a different balance. And I think it's really what a normal human being is, has both this awareness of the animating flow and the everyday self at the same time. So that's the idea there. And it's I know people have tastes of it at different moments, but are just not yet recognizing what it is that's happening, because it's not really spoken about very much. Possibly spoken privately in, you know, sessions with your teacher. But, you know, the real teacher in us is this finer attention. That's what I've finally come to after so many decades, lifetimes, that, yes, the outer teacher is very, very helpful if that person is vibrating in an awakened way, because then something in you aligns in that way, and then you taste what that's like to be in this more awakened state. So, of course, the outer teacher is helpful at different moments. But the thing that's so wonderful is when the outer teacher leads you to the teacher inside yourself, which is this energy, this very subtle energy, because it knows better than I do. It's an intelligence flowing through me that absolutely bypasses thought, has nothing to do with thinking or concepts. It's a different quality, a different way of being alive when you're in this stream of attention, and it's as different from ordinary, regular, usual level of consciousness as night and day. You feel you are stepping into another dimension of being really lit and balanced and at home. We're sort of walking ourselves and each other home when we come into this this energy. People certainly feel it, walking by the ocean or coming out of yoga class. I don't know why, but in this moment I feel very balanced, very alive, very vivid. That's a moment where this life force is blazing up and there's an awareness of it. So now I'm hoping there can be a recognition of it so that one can find it again more and more often, standing at the sink washing dishes and brushing teeth and in front of a loved one. You can find it again. If you can find it once and recognize it, you can find it again and again and then live actually in a different way, bringing our best into the world, letting it flow into the world, letting this energy flow into the world. That sounds pretty woo-woo, but that's what interests me at the moment.
It's not that woo-woo because, I've interviewed other writers and other authors of wonderful books that are just now coming out in the last, 6 months, and they're all on the same page. You guys are all on the same page. It's all about lightening up, not making it a task, making it, something that you can just flow into and flow out of like a wave in the ocean rather than, trying to figure out how to catch the wave.
Oh, that's so beautifully put. That is just so beautifully put. I'm not chasing after a different me, or I'm not chasing after consciousness. I'm not, doing all those things that we have been doing, which, of course, have nicely led
right.
us to this moment because, like Murphy says, I think the opening quote of chapter one is, "When will Buddha bring the ice cream? I'd like the instant enlightenment sundae, please, with no nuts. And could I have it to go?" So that's sort of been our attitude. Come on, tell me what that means that more people are, many more people are waking up, even to be able to, for you and I to be talking in this way, and for you to say you're reading other books that are also saying we could lighten up about this and actually just make this little slight shift in our attention, and it can go very wide. Murphy says, go wide, says the ocean, says the sky, so I have my sounds in the room, and I have the light and this impression of sensation of my body, and I have this impression that I'm, in this living body. Lots of delicious impressions. We can be in a more receptive mode. Let these impressions come to me. Let them be received with me here, taking them in. So, and Murphy talks about one of the key points on the roadmap, if we're going to talk that way. The thing that always
right.
can be an entry into this, moving into this other dimension while still being oneself in life, and that is this, what he calls the sacred quality of seeing. At any moment, it's possible, and this is really the toe in the door, at any moment it's possible to have this impression that my body's being seen, that almost as if there's a camera on me, this sense of, I can have myself being seen, and I can be aware from the top of my head, sense the seat of my chair, the soles of my feet. I can be seen. I'm under observation. He calls it reality show me. Is there something as a witness? Something is accompanying me with seeing. And that's really the foot in the door, because that breaks the hold of my usual mode of being, which is like, there's only Fran. There's only what Fran's focused on in this moment. There's nothing else. There's nothing else here. When, of course, there's so much else here, it just expands the awareness and, keeps one from getting too lost for too long down the rabbit hole. And so seeing can happen at any moment. I remember my teacher had written something called Seeing, the Endless Source of Inner Freedom. And I think it really holds true. It's seeing is freeing. Laughter is freeing. Seeing and laughter are connected, too. But the sense I'm under observation, posture, tone of voice, the look of the body, not to gather information, but just to have another, have the mind do a slightly different activity that connects it with the body in a very intense way. So the mind and the body are connected through the seeing, and then the feelings join in because I wish to continue being seen. When I have those three parts together in a moment, that's what makes possible this perception of what's animating the whole of it. I have mind, body, feelings all here together engaged in this seeing of me here speaking. And at the same time, then, there can be a much greater sensitivity to subtle impressions. And one of them is this flow through me that I can be aware of, because I think basically it's, pardon the expression, what I am, you know, beyond form. Beyond form, there's something alive and living, and that's something that the readers and viewers and listeners and whatever can experience. We can all experience for ourselves. Attention is the teacher.
And that is so true, because, you know, our attention's on so many different things in this fast-paced world, you know, that we need to get to that point where we can just enter and exit as need be into that dimension to stretch ourselves, rather than, like I said, not chasing the wave, but catching the wave and then going to the peak of that wave.
It's a training in a certain way to be able to accompany myself with attention. And I'm using attention with a small a, distinguished from this attention with a capital A, which is another word for the life force. But the first, and of course these levels of attention are spoken of in the book by the editor when the editor is talking to Murphy about, is this what you mean? Is this what you mean? And he's always stopping Murphy to say, what are you talking about? You know. So the attention this that can be activated, my attention, my so-called attention, that's the kind of thing that we do, you know, in yoga class, a potter at the wheel, you know, a surgeon with a knife, you know, you're intense sewing or anything that you're doing with your hands, intense attention mobilized on exactly what is being done now. That's something that I can do. I can mobilize my attention. This finer attention, this capital A attention, is what the word Lord even connotes in the title of Lord Have Murphy. This higher intelligence, this animating quality, that is not in my control. That's not something I can do. Of course, thank God I can't do it. I mean, what if I had to be responsible for making my lungs, you know, move and my heartbeat?
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have that responsibility. But, you know, that this energy that's giving me life at every moment, coming into me at every moment, flowing through at every moment, is not in my control, but it's possible to join with it, that my attention, small a, can join with it, can begin to recognize it, oh, that's what that is, and receive it and be with it. And that's when I feel that I'm moving into the realm of actually waking up, beyond being self-aware, moving into actual awakening. And that's, as I said before, an unlimited dimension. Who knows how tremendously, truly awake we can become. But this is the searcher's map, the map for the seeker that's been helping me, moving from that kind of seeing myself, mobilizing my attention, becoming aware of this very subtle energy in me, seeing if my attention, you know, joins with it, can recognize it and join with that. And then I know that I feel in the moment that it's I'm in a more awake state.
And I think that that's where a lot of us are wanting to be now, and you're seeing a huge movement of different awakenings and emergence and, you know, things that were talked about and prophesied about that you're actually seeing today. I mean, like as a, the entry of my show said, the Rainbow Bridge, I mean, that's been spoken of for years through the Native Americans and other indigenous, and, you know, that's where we are. It's a blending of everything rather than being so separate. And that's when I talk about the jewel that, you know, it's all these different facets and facets bigger or better than the others. And we all are blending into this beautiful jewel rather than trying to break it apart and into pieces. And I think that's the awesome part of this book that you write, is that, you know, it's just, you know, just kind of look at, you know, what's really on our spiritual agenda and how much is it an agenda and how much of it is, you know, enlightenment into another idea. And, you know, you definitely affectionately skewer some of the leaders and practices in the spiritual marketplace. And do you think that they take themselves too seriously, or that perhaps we take them too seriously?
Yes, this is interesting. First of all, it's Murphy that's doing that. I wouldn't be, you know.
Exactly.
Let's lay that at Murphy's doorstep, because it's true that there's that, for example, that chapter, Maximizing the Art of Living, where Murphy, you know, does parodies of some of these things that you can find on the internet that talk about, you know, higher consciousness, and people will recognize some of them, you know, talking about higher consciousness in terms of a Wall Street stock portfolio, you know what I mean? Like, it's very funny. So it's very amusing. His Murphy's point of view, and mine is slightly different. I'll say what that is in a moment. But Murphy's point of view is that it's doing us somewhat of a disservice to just into thinking that if I change my behavior, I'll wake up. If I change my thinking, I'll wake up. Because Murphy is a real purist. He says, yes, there's degrees of self-awareness, but this idea of awakening and this actual transformation has to be more than, as he puts it, transitory information about how to cope as a cheerier me. So it's not that. Transformation for Murphy is actually a shift into another level, and you know it when you're in that, vibrating in that way, when that shift is occurring. You know it as surely as you know the difference between night and day. It's you're in the shower, he puts it, or you're not. So he's very cut and dry about that. So he takes umbrage with so many books and courses online that talk about, you know, behave this way into waking up. You know, act as if you are already awake and you will, you know, be awake. Think these thoughts, even affirmations to a certain extent. I mean, the wonderful and, you know, positive thinking, there's huge numbers of people helped by that, so that's great. He says there's something that there's a danger there in that it shortcuts the actual seeing of what is. And he's looking for a consciousness that embraces all of it, limited by none of it, which means there's no cherry picking about my behavior. There's no trying to convince myself with an affirmation that I am feeling wonderful when in my gut, you know, I've got cortisol shooting through my body and I really actually do know that I do not feel wonderful. I'm just trying to convince myself I feel wonderful. He feels all that takes place below the level of sleep. And I have a slightly different point of view. My point of view is that we are suffering unconsciously so much. And really, for just every little thing, you know, can get blown up, and we're just suffering so much, and there's a lot of it in the world and in my life and in me, and I'm sensitive to all these things, that, you know, anything that helps relieve the suffering for a few minutes is possibly extremely important, because, you know, if I come up for air just a little bit, then maybe it is possible to remember that I can have this impression of being seen again now, as if this camera's on me, or this impression that I can again inhabit my body with attention, you know, feel sensation in my body, ground my attention in my body by sensing, you know, my arms and my legs. I can remember that I can begin to shift into another level. But if we're way, way, way down in the dumps and way, way, way down the rabbit hole, it's just, you know, it's very, very hard. So anything that helps people sort of lift spirits and raise up a little bit, again, laughing is just wonderful. Just going and laughing is fabulous. That gets you vibrating higher. The other aspect is having for the first time in my life, after having written a dozen books, actually come out sort of publicly with a book instead of just letting it be privately circulated and things like that. I'm sort of being smack dab in the middle of the spiritual marketplace and talking on the radio. My goodness, oh my!
Right.
5 months ago, I would never even considered it. I sort of understand the difficulty that people who are beginning to speak about this face, because, you know, there are a lot of temptations for the ego and for money, and so all these other things start swirling around, because, you know, some people are in it for one thing and some people are in it for another thing, and it's very hard unless one has this absolute determination to stay in this finer energy, which will not allow this other crap to happen, by the way. I hope, please Lord, may that be the case, you know, that there's so many things that are very seductive about that, you know. I mean, I have the same things going on with me as everybody else does on the planet, so I understand the difficulty in remaining true to maybe the original impulse to allow something finer to come through one into the world, if that one can be, you know, a servant of that, serving the energy and embodying the energy. And also then the things that happen where you have to promote it and let people know about it and advertise it. So it's, where is the self, capital S, in all of this self-promotion? It can be very challenging. So I really bless everyone who is making the attempt, have the impulse ever, to come out publicly and you know, speak about these things. And I just hope for all of us that we just can be awake and find the reliable hallmarks in our own experience that tell us we are awake now and we're not just something else, you know, because we really want it to come into the world. And Murphy, as Murphy says, you know, can we change the world if we start to vibrate higher? He says, well, consciousness is contagious and it may not even have to go viral.
That's great. You know, I think that, you know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking about that, you know, 5 months ago you wouldn't even have thought of being on a radio show. And I can remember when I was called to do this, and I was like, what is the bigger picture here, you know? And I mean, literally called after my first interview with someone that works on this network, on Renford Network, the I Am Well show, and I got a call 3 days later, and they asked me to start doing work, and I didn't want to come out into the public eye, so I'd worked in the back office for like a year with all these ideas and shows and how they could do them and all this other stuff, and they're like, why don't you just do the show instead of telling us that we need to find someone to do a show like this? And, you know, and it's a little overwhelming to know that your voice is going out to 138 countries around the world and that it's on iTunes and is archived and can be downloaded. But that's the awesomeness of it, is that it can last for a long time and it's archived and people can find the information when they need it, rather than, you know, having to search, you know. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it's for seekers. It's for someone who's seeking that new information. And that's what this book is the new information of don't take yourself so seriously, you know. And it's like, you know, I mean, I think we've touched on it, but, you know, how can people begin to experience this awakening that Murphy talks about?
The good news is that, first of all, we don't have to be a certain way to wake up.
Right.
Really, that's the first thing. Nothing about me needs to change except where the attention is. You know, and so it's a question of noticing if my attention has got hooked into something and it needs to go wide again, that it needs to expand again, that it needs to include again these subtler impressions, that I need to be aware of the actual, you know, flesh and bone of my body. You know, I'm in this body. I can sense my whole body from the top of my head to the seat on the chair to my feet on the floor. Maybe I notice the movements of breathing. I stay just exactly as I am. I don't have to change anything about myself except to mobilize attention, to activate attention. And I can use my own body as the object of that attention. That's the key thing, that is if the body and its functions, the posture, how my shoulders are right now, how my jaw feels, you know, the position of my arms. If I can begin to pay attention to that, to mobilize my attention by looking at how my body is, just in an objective way, an absolutely neutral way, I'm on the road. I'm definitely in the territory of becoming receptive to the impressions of what is right in this moment, all of what is in this moment, including this energy that's flowing through you, flowing through me, through all of us, through all the facets of that jewel that lights it up. It's the same energy flowing through everybody, and people
yeah.
experiences of feeling that. So the interesting thing is that if I can have this impression of being seen, and I can sense my body, and I can begin to listen with both my ears and garner more and more attention here, just mobilize attention for this living being that I'm living in, that makes possible a relation with this sacred animating force, an actual relation with it, a joining with it, an awareness of it, a perception of it directly, which, you know, just changes everything. Then I'm letting that come into the world. I'm embodying it. It's in my speech. It's in my touch. It's in, you know, in the seconds that I'm aware that there's this other dimension that I am vibrating with. As I say, you know, it takes recognition and practice. The wonderful thing is that, you know, when the sun comes out, it doesn't matter if there's an ant crawling across the rug. So it doesn't matter, you know, about Fran and this little thing about Fran and that little thing about Fran or that little thing about Rhonda. It doesn't matter about the ant crawling across the rug, because when the sun comes out, the sun just radiates with life. And I'm just lit. You know, the body even sort of almost not disappears, but it recedes in prominence. You know, it's almost like you could feel like you're just this vibrating thing that's also in the trees you're looking at and in the face you're looking at. And about coming into the public arena, it's very interesting, but what I've found from this, and this is a very new for me, only a question of, like, you know, two months, I think, has been the whole extent of it for me. People are so generous. They're just so kind and so sort of hungry and interested and, you know, allow for, you know, my shortcomings because they know something about themselves in that respect. And I just have been extremely heartened. Speaking like with you, for instance, Rhonda, you when you spoke about the wave, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, and saying that you're reading other things where people are talking about, we don't have to make such a big hump of spinach that we have to down to move into this new realm. It's something much more direct and subtle and available now, more available now than possibly ever before in the history of the Earth. It feels that way. Something got a lot easier all of a sudden. It's a planetary cosmic thing now. Here's our chance. A lot of people are beginning to come to life and awaken in this way. So people are extraordinarily kind and generous in their heart, especially if they hear something that is, you know, resonates with something they've felt in themselves. So here we go. Bless us all, everyone, as they say.
And, you know, the images by Bruce Sherman are an important part of the book. And, you know, you've talked about them some, but can you talk about it a little bit more in regards to how that really inspired you to do it this way?
The what happened when the Murphy voice started taking over, what actually took over and then wrote the book, the Murphy voice was just so very fast. I mean, people, you have to really sort of be on your toes to read that, even me. He goes at breakneck speed, and he's making jokes all the time, and he's making all sorts of references to just everything, you know, just everything. He has an opinion about everything, as you can tell. And I thought, you know, we've got to slow this book down. I had some drawings with me of Bruce Sherman. I was just going to do captions for them for his own art book. And I thought, well, wait a minute. They're both on the same topic. They're both humor, and they're both about waking up. Maybe these drawings, because they're very, very witty, and they're very, they're almost like some, you know, ancient Aztec cartoonist is writing about seeking higher consciousness. So you'll have a drawing in which there's a person on the page, and he's got, like, you know, four or five different actual eyeballs, you know, coming at the top of the head, and then another eye outside that's looking at them. And I thought, yes, many eyes, but only one that sees. I just sort of could come up with a caption for that based on my own experience with these moments of, you know, experiencing higher consciousness, which is sort of go in and out of it all day long, which is my interest in my life. They're so funny. He'll show these images of. Then he'll have some beautiful one of this woman's profile, and you can sort of see her hair and you can see her profile. And there's all of these circuits in her that are just lit, and they're just so you're looking at it and think, wow, that is someone who is lit. You know, where all of these circuits are firing, and so you just see the picture and you think, that's an awakened being. You know. So he has the humor and he has the beauty, and there are about, I think there are about 40 of them, 40 of these drawings in the book. Most of them are in color. Some are, you know, little funny sketches. And they just seem to, when I got back from writing the book, within 2 hours I placed all 40 drawings in the book as if they had been made for the book, but they hadn't. They'd been done before I even started writing it, and they just fit. And it broke the speed with which Murphy, you know, gives his talks, you know, to everybody. And it just gives you a breather, but also sort of underpins the main ideas about seeing and getting in a contracted state and reading and all these things. What a teacher, you know, reaching for a teacher and reaching for a main idea and things, all these pictures that show these different states that we're in. So we also made it seem as if they're Murphy's drawings, like Murphy's also like a wannabe artist as well as a wannabe writer, and that these are his little sketches. These are Murphy drawings, and we even have him give an exhibit in the book. And his exhibit is called 47 Drawings of the Wind at Midnight.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Murphy's.
It's just
Murphy's
amazing how... Yeah, and it's just, you know, and I just really like the humorous part of it, you know, and realizing, you know, for myself and for my listeners, you know, bringing it forward that... You know, it's not as serious as we make it. We make it harder than what it is by, you know, again, I'll reference the wave, chasing that wave, trying to catch that wave, you know, instead of letting the wave catch us and then us riding the wave. And, you know, it's just amazing how everyone is on the same wavelength around the world. It's not just in the United States. It's not just on the East Coast. You know, it's like a worldwide awakening that's happening in, you know, so many vast ways.
It's wonderful because, and Murphy talks in the book a lot about, you know, sort of breaking the hold of beliefs. He calls beliefs the big addiction. You know, and he calls ownership the big trap. Yeah, so we have, and he's got some very funny chapters about, you know, what he believes. You know, he lists the things that he believes, and that sometimes he believes this, and so we have this. We're very much in the hold of both of those things, unless we awaken, and then they just drop away by themselves. The belief, this is this, and this is that, and this has to be like this, and this has to be like that, or this ownership that I even own. Spiritual states, you know, that I, you know, that they're like material, that I, they're like add-ons to Fran, you know, which is like, you know, absolutely not ridiculous. So ownership and beliefs are, he talks a lot about those things in the book, and he makes, you know, he makes you laugh about them so that you see them, and in oneself, and also out there in the spiritual marketplace. So it's interesting how once the hold is broken, so that I don't necessarily believe so sincerely that I'm only, you know, this body with this story, that I've experienced another way of being alive, whatever has brought me to that experience. You know, there are many, you know, whether it's ayahuasca or whether it's, you know, meditation or something, something is giving me another experience of being alive, another impression of what's happening here, and this is great unknown mystery that we really know very nothing about, let's put it that way, until I don't know anything. So that's great. So this laughter can break the hold of those beliefs and even the sense that I own things, that I'm a person who I own, you know, and then when really that's not me. It's this companion that's with me, but it's not necessarily me, because on a certain level there is no me. And if there's no me, there's no problems. And you can taste that.
Yeah, and it's just really, this is so mind-boggling to me, because it's everything that I've been experiencing the last few weeks of, you know, going, how do I put this name onto this feeling I have? And I kept telling my mom, I said, it's like a spiritual high. I said, it's almost like God's got his own hallucinogenics, and it just works through vibration. And I said, you know, you see things in a whole new pattern and way that's not been there before, or it's not been there for me. And a lot of it's been, you know, I've been on my property in the mountains in Red Feather Lakes, and very in tune with nature and building my medicine wheel. And it's just really made me realize, you know, how I started it 2 years ago and how sick I was. And now I'm not sick, and the doctors are scratching their head going, what have you done? And I'm like, I quit believing that I was sick.
Yes.
You know, identity.
Yes. Being with the greatness of nature, it can be tremendously enlivening and awakening. You know, and I say this from experience, because, I mean, that whole book of poems that I wrote called Writing My Yoga were all written on a... on a mountaintop in Switzerland, you know. You know, when you're looking at the mountains and you can feel the silence in them, it's almost like being with an awakened person, where they're, you know, you sort of start vibrating with these energies in nature and this greatness of it, because you feel that you're with them and you're all in one thing and you're part of something very great and wonderful. That's a tremendously healing, even can heal one physically, I think, this finer energy, this vibration, because I have this theory that, you know, bugs and bacteria and things like that, they're very dense and they're vibrating at a very low rate. So if you're vibrating, truly vibrating at a higher level, whether it's looking at the mountains or, again, looking into the face of a loved one, or just doing something that gives you joy, And you feel connected to others and to this living, this massive living energy that we're in, that we're seeing everywhere. That's tremendously healing, And it breaks the hold of this, like you said, the story that I've been telling myself, you know. This is
mm-hmm.
not to say you shouldn't get medical attention or homeopathic or
no.
or acupuncture or alternative medicine or energy medicine help, because all of these energy medicines are now coming into their own and are wonderful because they're helping you vibrate in a different way like we've been talking about. We got very woo-woo, but that's okay, so we'll let that happen. because our personal experience seems to be pretty woo-woo, isn't it? Our personal
yeah.
experience seems to be, like, fabulous. I mean, Murphy would say, let's see what Murphy would say. He would say, the farther one travels, the less one blows. You know, we're getting better. We're getting freer.
Yeah.
We're not whining about ourselves, you know. We're just like, wow, there's a treasure here that's maybe
right.
hidden, but it's in us. It's the teacher for us, you know. This
right.
finer energy is our teacher, and it's taking us really where we want to go, where we want the planet to
right.
go as well.
Well, can you let people know how to get a hold of you and about your website and where they can learn more about Lord Have Murphy and your other books?
Sure. This is new, but there's a website, franshawbooks.com, franshawbooks.com. And, of course, you can contact me through there. And there's actually three books about and talking about attention on that website, as well as, you know, all the there's pictures, there's drawings from the Lord Have Murphy book, and you can just there's pull quotes that are funny from all the chapters in the Lord Have Murphy book. So you can just roam around there and have some fun there. And there's also of course the book's available both hardcover and Kindle on Amazon. It's
mm-hmm.
also available, you know, for an iBookstore and Barnes and Noble and things like that. But on franshawbooks.com, the other two books there are the one that just preceded this one, which is called Notes on the Next Attention. And that's 78 talks by the teacher that I worked with in Switzerland years ago. So that's actually a completely vibrational book. It's not a conceptual book. It's an energetical book. You actually can hear these sentences, and they come through, and they just attract you to this other level of vibration. It's very interesting to have worked with that material and put it out in a book. It's only
mm-hmm.
now come out to be available to the public. It was circulated privately for a long time. And then my writing my yoga poems for presence, which are also your poems that sort of embody this vibration that I've sort of written. I've written poetry my whole life. And also experiments you can do to write your own yoga poems, you know, how to you know, step one, step two, step three, some steps that you can do
mm-hmm.
to put yourself in the space from which, as you had mentioned at the beginning, from which words just flow freely, connecting with the source of all this creative energy in us. And how do we do that? It's the same energy, this finer attention that I'm talking about. It's the source of all that creativity, and one can connect with that, you know, through, you know, following breathing and listening and being aware of a wide visual field and being out with, you know, great nature, as I said before. So that's there too. But Lord Have Murphy, Waking Up in the Spiritual Marketplace, is definitely on the franshawbooks.com website with pictures, with some of the drawings, and with lots of the funny quotes that are in the book. So if someone just wants to play, they can just go there and play.
Well, that's really nice, and it's been amazing interviewing you today, and person that, you know, is on the same wavelength as other ones that I've interviewed in the last, you know, few months. And I'm just really glad to have met you, and I'd love to have you back on the show again so that we can continue this subject.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure, Rhonda. Just so interesting, the things you said, and I wish you well with all of the work that you're doing, and I just feel that we are beginning to live in a new way. We can live in a new way, and we're just on the brink of discovering how this mobilizing our attention can open us to this whole other level of being alive. It's the level that is makes us happy and joyous because it connects us with something that is so freeing. All the things that have been sort of oppressing us for so many years and decades, it's just so they just let go on their own. They can just let go on their own. I don't have to do anything when I can be in this stream of attention. And so then we're just kind of like new, we're fresh, we're new, and we can, you know, really let something come through us and move into the world that is just helpful for all of us, for all of us. So thank you very much for having me on, and I just send love out to everybody that's listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. And listeners, we'll be back tomorrow for the Searcher's Roadmap at noon Mountain Standard Time, Daylight Savings Time, however you look at it, depending on where you're at in the world. And I'm just really grateful that we had this show today and that we're all on a new path of enlightenment. Don't forget, you can download this radio show afterwards in about 10 minutes, and then it can be your permanent piece of radio show, and you can re-listen to it and look into things more that you'd like to see. And if you need anything, you can email me at thesearchersroadmap@gmail.com. And I will talk to you guys all tomorrow. Have a wonderful week.